This is the Mike Lupica Podcast.
This podcast is great because your enthusiasms, it's why we've all been reading you for so long. This is a great vehicle for you to actually get to, in a long-form way, explore those enthusiasms, sometimes with the perspective of an additional 10 or 20 years.
Thanks for doing this today, pal.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me. Thanks for having
the
me.
Fun of this is I just talk to guys that I want to talk to.
That's what, to me, is such a blast about listening to your show.
First of all, the first time I ever saw Bernie on television, I started to talk like him as I was watching him.
Can you imagine the great Michael Jordan saying, hey, you know what? We can't beat the Pistons. Let me go join them. The essence of sports is about competition.
In-your-face questions.
How much of a dope is he?
Compelling.
A $1 billion industry, the biggest we've ever had in sports in this country, often comes down to a flip of the coin.
This is the Mike Lupica Podcast. Here's Mike Lupica. Mike Lupica.
Hello, and thanks for joining us on the Mike Lupica Podcast. Today, we are thrilled to be joined by conservative speaker, MSNBC political analyst, my friend Rick Tyler. But before we get started with Rick, a word from our sponsor, Mack Weldon. You know, shopping for underwear can be a chore that usually results in odd fitting and uncomfortable underwear. Well, Mack Weldon is changing the experience in shopping for them and wearing them. Mack Weldon is more than just underwear, though. Socks, sweatshirts, t-shirts, all made with precision and the utmost comfort imaginable. They started by engineering their own fabric, ensuring the design process was meticulous, so you can count on the fit being the same every single time. I have to say, I always thought all underwear was basically the same. Boy, was I wrong. I bought some to try, and let me tell you, they are light years from what I normally buy, and so comfortable. So I tried their socks. Same result. Quality, comfort, amazing. Mack Weldon guarantees their underwear is more comfortable than what you're wearing right now, and I do too. They even have a line of silver underwear and shirts that are naturally antimicrobial, which means they eliminate odor. For 20% off your first order, visit MackWeldon.com and enter the promo code Lupica. That's MackWeldon.com. Enter promo code Lupica for 20% off your first order. Welcome back to the Mike Lupica Podcast. And if you watch MSNBC and various shows, various platforms, you know that Rick Tyler's somebody you got to listen to because he's Republican and he's a conservative and his hair is on fire about what he is witnessing right now from the White House. Leadership Institute trainer, founding strategy partner, MSNBC, used to work for Ted Cruz. He joins us now. Hey, Rick.
Mike, how are you?
Well, other than the fact that everything's turning to hell, I'm fine. And it's interesting. I've followed you on Twitter for a long time, and it's so much fun because you've gotten even tougher and much funnier and more aggressive about this president. I see that you retweeted something I already did this morning, where now Trump is criticizing Fox and Friends and Brian Kilmeade. And I just said, God, over at Fox, they just hate it when mom and dad fight. Don't they, Rick? Don't they?
Exactly. And now he's retweeting One American News Network, also known as the American Conspiracy Network. So he thinks that they're going to somehow give him a run for the money and he'll get them all back in line. But he's just losing support left and right. You would think that when the president, by the way, who is now the subject of an impeachment inquiry because of his overt invitation of the Ukrainian president to get involved in his presidential election, which remarkably echoes what the Mueller report had concluded. And people say, oh, this is like the Mueller report. And I say to myself, yes, it's exactly like that. And you would think conventionally, even if a president was exonerated from all that, which he claimed to be, which he wasn't, he would say, I can't even have the appearance of being involved in some kind of a scheme to invite foreign influence. Yet there he was. And so what would you do? You would say, I need to protect myself with the Senate Republicans because they're the only ones who can stop me from being removed from office. And what does he do? He splits the coalition by abandoning the Kurds, which is a remarkable betrayal of people who fought side by side with us to defeat ISIS and terrorism.
You know, Rick, I was thinking about this today. He, in an odd way, even though I'm sure the other guy was far more decent. He's become the new Neville Chamberlain. I mean, he really has. And the peril to that region and to the world is so extreme. All right, there's guys we need to talk about today. And I'm a New Yorker, and I watched the whole show from Rudy Giuliani. And what I tell people about Giuliani is this is who he is. This is who he's always been. Okay. And he was wildly overpraised and got incredibly rich because he did what most New Yorkers did after September 11th. He did his job, but people immediately forgot the Giuliani of September 9th and 10th and the joke that his second term had become. But these Gotti-like instincts, even when he was a prosecutor, Rick, this is who he was, a grandstanding guy who loved to march people out with raincoats over their heads. In fact, I tweeted the other day that when he does the perp walk, maybe he can borrow one of those old raincoats, okay? And the idea that this guy has become our de facto Secretary of State tells you as much about this administration as anything.
Well, it does. And to add to your Rudy Giuliani story, he would perp walk people out in raincoats based on the work of other prosecutors, because he had this knack for claiming credit for virtually everything he did. In fact, it was what led him to fire Chief Bratton, who had done more work to reform New York City. We can debate about the merits of that, but than he ever did. And now, I mean, Rudy's just become a joke. And the thing is, with poor Rudy, if I might say, is that, you know, he cannot walk out on Fifth Avenue and shoot someone and get away with it. That seems to only apply to Trump. He's in serious legal trouble.
Oh, he's got exposure all over the place, and I just love Trump defending him the other day on Twitter, the old crime buster. No, he's not a crime buster any longer, Mr. President. He's a crime wave, and you know, I don't know how he protects himself at this point, but Rick, one thing I think we can agree on, if he needs a good lawyer, it will not be himself.
No, think about the Southern District U.S. Attorney that he was. That same office is the one who's investigating him. And by the way, the U.S. Justice Department is also investigating him, which blows the lid off of this whole idea of the deep state. Because last I checked, Barr, Attorney General Barr, was head of the Justice Department, and it is his Justice Department that is investigating Rudy Giuliani. So the deep state theory goes right out the window.
And there's somebody else that we need to talk about, because I watched this with endless fascination, and that is the sniveling performance of Lindsey Graham. And Rick, I don't know what you thought about him or what your relationship with him was or Ted Cruz's relationship was before all this, but can we just, is it somehow okay to just write this off to political survival and ambition, to shame yourself in front of the country this way?
It's really remarkable. I mean, I could tell you what I've always thought about Lindsey Graham. I mean, you could always depend on Lindsey Graham from my point of view, for the right thinking in foreign policy and national defense. I mean, I was pretty aligned with Lindsey Graham, and his tweet this morning saying he just spoke to the president, and you know, these sanctions that are proposed against Erdogan, which, by the way, there are no sanctions, is going to do the trick and really reverse Turkey. But there's no evidence of that. Second, there's no proof that it's going to go through. And he said he spoke to President Trump, but it sounds more like President Trump actually spoke to him, because this is so uncharacteristic of Lindsey Graham and his known foreign policy and his known hawkishness to seemingly do a 180 so quickly, and now is aligned with, seemingly aligned with Trump after he condemned Trump on the abandonment of the Kurds.
And then, and the minute he did, it's like, Rick, it's like he got called to the principal's office, and he's been walking it back ever since. But I mean, this is a guy who was John McCain's friend. We see him described as John McCain's best friend in the Senate. And for him to get rolled this way by this guy, I mean, we know who McConnell is, okay? But you look back on the things, I mean, listen, everybody does this on Twitter all the time. The things just he said about Trump when he was still a candidate in 2016, and you try to line him up with what he's saying now. And then, how about that viral clip of him talking about impeachment when it was Bill Clinton who was getting his ass impeached?
Well, he's not the only one. I mean, we've seen the clips from nearly everyone on the Republican side after Bill Clinton was, before and after Bill Clinton was impeached, and the hypocrisy runs really deep. You know, one thing about John McCain that's always been interesting to me is that you of course would remember when John McCain got caught up in the Keating Five, and yeah. John McCain considered that a black mark in his record. It was shameful to him.
Yep. Yep.
And he spent the rest of his career trying to make amends for that, trying to live that down, never be caught up in something like that. And that's the difference between John McCain, who got caught up in something that he was ashamed of and tried to make it right, as opposed to these Republicans and Trump. Trump doesn't have any, I mean, he has no, I've said this since the primary, he has no moral foundation, he has no guiding principles, he doesn't have a governing philosophy, he has very little appreciation or understanding of history. I mean, he talked about this morning, you know, the guys who got us in the middle of the Middle East, you know, they're the ones who want us to stay there. Well, you know, it was President Andrew Johnson who first created a commercial relationship with Oman, and it was FDR who had troops stationed in Iran, called the Iran Corridor, to protect the oil supply back in 1943. Now, those two are dead. One was dead in 1845, and the other in 1945, 100 years apart. And so everybody what Trump wants to blame about involvement in the Middle East appears to be dead.
Rick Tyler's our guest on the Mike Lubega podcast. More with Rick in a moment, but first, this from Indochino. Have you ever experienced suit envy? I know it's bad. Well, you're in a meeting and an event around other well-tailored suits, and suddenly your own suit seems less than... Well, feeling less is no more with Indochino. Indochino is the world's largest made-to-measure menswear brand, making suits, shirts, coats, and more to your exact measurements for a perfect fit. How do I know? I'm into Indochino now, so much so that my son is going to use them for his wedding party. And I love the way my customized suits turn out when I design them from the comfort of my own home. I simply choose my fabric, personalize my details like lapel and lining, and submit my measurements all online. In 2 weeks, my custom fit suit arrived at my doorstep, and I'm confident each time I put it on. Go to Indochino.com, or you can get measured and design your suit at the nearest Indochino showroom. And hey, you don't have to be a CEO to get a custom fit. Almost every Indochino creation is under $400. And right now you can get $30 off your total purchase of $399 or more at Indochino.com when entering Lupica at checkout. Plus, shipping is free. That's Indochino.com, promo code Lupica, for $30 off your total purchase of $399 or more. An incredible deal. Made to measure clothing. You really have no excuse anymore to wear clothing that doesn't fit. He's becoming increasingly less tethered to reality. And some of these tweets, it's like when you look in on these, what I still call the airplane hangar rallies, and try to find a coherent thought. I mean, Kurds may be releasing some to get us involved, easily recaptured by Turkey or European nations from where many came, but they should move quickly. Big sanctions on Turkey coming. Do people really think we should go to war with NATO member Turkey? This sanctions thing, I'm trying to think of an analogy, Rick. It's like if you say, all right, you go over there and you burn down that factory, okay? But look out, because as soon as you do, we're calling the police and the fire department. That's what he's done with the Kurds.
Yeah. It's really heartbreaking about the the Kurds. I mean, one thing, I mean, to maintain any semblance of credibility in the world is you've just got to be a reliable partner with people who are fighting common cause. Now we fought common cause with the Russians during World War One and World War Two, but I don't think we had any illusions about Russia, and Truman certainly didn't seem to think so. But you know, what Turkey will now do is reform its alliance. It already has a military alliance with Russia, which is outrageous. They're a NATO member, and they're purchasing anti-missile defense systems, not very good ones, but nevertheless, from Russia and not from a NATO member. And the United States is the one who has that technology. And so there's a whole realignment going on, and it's not in our interests for this realignment. Do we want endless wars? No, but when America doesn't provide a leadership role in the world, like cutting and running on the Kurds, the world becomes a very dark and bloody place. And we're seeing a small example of that. Not small for the people involved, but that's what's happening to the Kurds now. They're being decimated. Civilians are being targeted. Children are being killed because the president has no understanding of history and no sense of leadership and no sense of what the right thing to do is.
And what he is doing in broad daylight, getting rolled by Erdogan, is this. He's once again turning that part of the world into like a finishing school for ISIS all over again. And the consequences of this, the ripple effects of this, Rick, I honestly believe they are going to be felt long after he's out of office, whenever the hell he's out of office.
Oh, we will pay in treasure and blood for what Trump has done. And, you know, people don't want to speculate about this, but, you know, ISIS, we are ISIS's mortal enemy. And they're, you know, we're a big country with a lot of soft targets. And this is asymmetrical warfare. And we've been protected from foreign terrorist attacks. Unfortunately, we're dealing with domestic ones now, but foreign terrorist attacks really since the Bush administration. And if we suffer a foreign terrorist attack in our soil, I think there will be a direct line between the president's actions and the attack.
Rick, I've been thinking about this since that, you know, that late night tweet and that phone call with Erdogan. We know what base he's playing to his racism, his appeal to white resentment. I mean, that's ground that we've covered, okay? But who's his base on this decision? Is this gangster who runs Turkey? Is he the base? Who's he? What audience is he playing to with this?
Well, I think he's been playing to the Fox News audience, which, you know, friends of mine watch Fox News and occasionally I'll turn into Fox News and you know, we both mutually agree that when, you know, they listen to MSNBC and when I listen to Fox, it's like tuning into a news from another galaxy. Yeah. I mean, there's just such a disconnect between the stories being told and, you know, does my side always get it right? No. Do they tell the full story all the time? You know, no, but I think on balance, it's a very credible news organization that tries to share the news in a way that people can understand and be informed about. And unfortunately, you know, Fox is increasingly, and I'm talking about its news division, not its opinion division. It's important people to understand those two distinctions. That they have been carrying water for Trump for a long time. And maybe now they're not. I mean, most notably, Shep Smith seemed to have left Fox News because he just couldn't. He just felt as if he wasn't getting supported, and because I won't say he was anti-Trump, but he would at least report the facts out. And you know, we can go through all the conspiracy theories from Uranium One to Clinton's emails to the DNC emails being housed in Ukraine. I mean, these conspiracy theories go on and on and on. And I talk to people who I know that listen to Fox News who are smart people in normal circumstances, and they believe this stuff. And it is very powerful when the president of the United States, because it's just hard to believe that the president of the United States, with the imprimatur of the presidency and all that it carries, even when the president repeats lie after lie after lie, it is hard for people to die. And even me, Mike, you know, I listen to it and I'm like, you want it to be true in a sense, because you're like, this is our presidency, but he just cannot. He literally, if you ask him what time it is and it's noon, he will say it's 11:30 because he just can't tell the truth. He literally just cannot tell the truth.
How about the scrum yesterday where he says, I haven't talked to Rudy. And then in the next breath, he says, well, I spoke to him yesterday.
And that is, and I'd like to say that was just a slip of the tongue, or that was just, you know, that happens to people sometimes. But that happens consistently in the same sentence, in the same paragraphs. He has inconsistent statements that are in contradiction with each other. And what I don't understand is that people can't look at that and say, this guy is just a pathological liar. He just cannot tell the truth. You know, I don't know. I haven't talked to Rudy in a long time. Oh, I talked to him last night. Yeah, he's still my lawyer. He's good. He has been my lawyer. You know, it's like just walking away. And then, of course, he tries to go reverse it. And they, but it won't be long before Rudy is, you know, persona non grata. And he never really was my lawyer. Same song and dance with Michael Cohen, who is now in jail. And by the way, two personal lawyers of the President of the United States, one under federal incarceration and the other one under investigation by the FBI, you got to wonder, like, what kind of company do you keep here?
Yeah, Jimmy Breslin wrote this novel a long time ago. It's called The Gang That Couldn't Shoot Straight, okay? And they always make me think of one of my favorite lines in the history of sports from the old boxing promoter Bob Arum, who got caught in a lie one time, and when here was his response. Yesterday I was lying, today I'm telling the truth. Okay, except this guy doesn't make any attempt to tell the truth. And you know, I was thinking about this. I meant to tweet this last week and I forgot. Him threatening to sue Adam Schiff and Nancy Pelosi, Rick, that was as inevitable as the tide, because that has been his point of attack his entire business career.
Right. And by the way, he has called for the impeachment of the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, the impeachment of Adam Schiff, the head of the Intelligence Committee, and the impeachment of Mitt Romney. And
right.
There's no impeachment process for senators and congressmen. Now, he's got to know that, but he just repeats it. It's an obvious factual error, but he's got to know that they can't be impeached, but he says it anyway. In the same breath, as you noticed, over the last couple of days, he is blaming everyone else for getting us in the Middle East, and he's going to get us out of the Middle East. Did anybody not notice that he just put 2,000 additional troops in Saudi Arabia?
Oh, I was just going to ask you, Mike. Rick, I was just going to ask you about that. This, and I know you've been tweeting about this, this is as brazen as any element to this story, what he's done with Saudi Arabia.
We're going to get troops out of the Middle East, but we're going to put 2,000 additional troops in Saudi Arabia, which the last time I checked is in the Middle East.
Rick Tyler is our guest on the Mike Lubega podcast. More of our conversation right after this from GEICO. Everybody's got a to-do list. Drop off the dry cleaning, pick up some milk. Here's an idea. Let's save hundreds of dollars on car insurance. And the good thing is you don't have to drop off or pick up anything. All you have to do is go to GEICO.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. Extra money in your pocket? It just may be the most rewarding to do you do today. And why? And why? Because he's getting rolled by then, because he thinks he can justify any behavior like this because they send us money. And, you know, everybody's been saying, I mean, this is not an original thought from me or anything close, but he says, well, they're going to pay. Oh, okay. So you can now rent the United States military? You could throw some money at the United States and, oh, okay, we'll send 2,000 troops to Saudi Arabia to what? Protect a regime there that did what they did to Khashoggi?
Yeah, the Hessians were mercenaries that George Washington fought against. They were an army for hire. That's true. That's been true in U.S. history, but in world history. But the idea that okay, if you're willing to pay, then we'll send troops. Now, we have a very mixed track record of where and why we send troops, and
right.
Certainly been a lot of mistakes made. There's no question about that. But with this president, it just seems so blatant. The only thing that makes sense to me, Mike, and I don't have any evidence for it, so I hesitate to repeat it, but the only rationale that I can come up with is the reason you would allow Turkey the green light in after one phone call to the president.
Yeah.
And the reason you would send 2,000 additional troops to Saudi Arabia is because you have business in Istanbul and business in Riyadh. Otherwise, none of these things make any sense.
And it goes on and on. By the way, are you as struck as I have been struck over the last week or so by what has been pretty much radio silence by the Senate Majority Leader?
Well, it's not just the Majority Leader. I mean, even the White House's entire press team, who I don't think he actually communicates with, have just been gun shy to give any comments because they know. And we saw this during the primary. The reason Trump surrogates were so weak and conspiratorial minded were they were not good, and they would repeat things that were ludicrous and at the expense of their reputations, is because Trump will give you a talking point, and then or the communications will give you a talking point in the conventional way that I understand communications, and then Trump will contradict it, and he just ruins his reputation. But now there's an additional problem for the White House communication staff, is that if they are defending Trump at this moment, they could actually have legal liability. I mean, think about that. You can't defend Trump because it may get you, you might have to get lawyered up.
I'm talking to my friend Rick Tyler. And again, for all the people out there who think that MSNBC is populated by, you know, deep state liberal commies, I advise them to check the credentials and the history of Rick Tyler, because it's why he's become such an important voice there, much the way Joe Scarborough has coming at this from where he comes at it. Rick, when you look at this now, And you look at what the damage that has been done to the institution of the presidency, one that will take, I'm telling you, it'll take more than another election to fix. Are you sometimes amazed, as I am, that somebody who couldn't explain to you how a bill becomes law, okay, who was completely stumped with a question during the campaign about the nuclear triad, has somehow been able to exploit and find every single soft spot in what the founding fathers intended, okay? And has somehow been able to do this in the place that my old friend Louis Carnesecca called Macy's window, and nobody stops him.
It really is amazing, and it's discouraging. I'll give you two of my own personal thoughts that have occurred to me over this period of time is, you know, one was the thought that I was at the convention when Donald Trump was nominated, and I must have left for pizza and a beer or something.
And
when I came back, the whole room had drank the Kool-Aid, and they were under the spell. And, like, these are people I've known all my life, all my political career, all my professional career, as, you know, fellow travelers and in defending conservative ideals and principles, and they just sold them all out because none of these ideas, and I'll defend conservatism because free trade is a conservative idea. Tariffs are not a conservative idea. Supporting our allies in NATO is a conservative idea. I'm not saying it's not that Democrats can't do that as well. Don't misunderstand, but these principles, pro-immigration is a conservative ideal. It's not what he sees as, and then people don't know what conservatism is. And the same people who support Trump, who call them conservatives, I liken themselves to vegans eating a hamburger. You know, you can't call yourself a vegan and be cutting into a filet mignon and chomping on it, right? And that's what strikes me is people don't understand what conservatism is, so I just get very discouraged. But the other thing is, this is not all Donald Trump's fault. This is the fault of the American people who took a chance on Trump. Now, I think most people, and I always had this view, and I hope you do too, is that America has a remarkable ability for course correction.
Yeah. And, yes.
You know.
Yeah.
And then people say to me, "Well, aren't you supporting Democrats?" And I've never voted for a Democrat in my life, and I'm not saying I won't. I'm just saying I haven't. But right now, Mike, I'm just trying to kill the alligator closest to the boat.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're in a dinghy on the river, and there's a 14-foot alligator coming at us, and too often, you know, we're pointing at the 2-foot alligator 100 yards away. I'll deal with the alligators later. Let's just kill this one now.
You know, it's funny. When I look at the chorus of people who are the most vocal defenders of Trump, I don't expect anything better from Mark Meadows. I don't expect anything better from Jim Jordan. We're having this conversation. Where I'm sitting right now is Lee Zeldin's district on Long Island. And, you know, yeah. I said yesterday, you know, I actually tweeted something at him. I said, Lee, you're actually an example of democracy in action, because if you can become a member of the House of Representatives, anybody can. Okay. But you want to go to guys, is it worth it? The reckoning that history is going to give McConnell, you want to say to him, you'd like to get him in a room and give him truth serum and say, was this really worth it? William Barr, okay, whatever he has become, he had some standing in this country before this. And you want to say to Barr, get enrolled by this guy, was it really worth it? Were all these judgeships, was that worth it for McConnell? Was it his own pockets getting lined? Was it worth it? Because, Rick, you know what a reckoning there is going to be from history with these jamokes.
Well, let me take the court as an example, right? So people say, yeah, but he put all these conservative judges in.
Right, right.
There's been a lot of federal judges, and I'll just speak to my liberal friends about this, because a conservative judge who is an originalist, right? Now, that may not line up with what the liberals would like in a judge, but what you can count on with an originalist is they're not going to set precedents. They're going to look at precedents, and those judges are much less threatened. And I'll make an example of why this is so horribly politicized. If you look at Neil Gorsuch and Merrick Garland. Remember Merrick Garland?
Yep.
Was the one that Obama nominated and McConnell wouldn't put him through because he claimed in an election year we needed the people to weigh in. And then, of course, then they put in Neil Gorsuch. They served the same D.C. district court. Between them, they had one disagreement, one dissension.
Right.
On one case, there isn't a dime's worth of difference between Merrick Garland and Neil Gorsuch. Now, I know the left is screaming. I know the right is screaming right now, right? But there just isn't. And I think Trump may be surprised. I mean, they have a chance now to try to reverse this decision on Trump's taxes. I don't think they'll go to the Supreme Court immediately, which is one of their options, because I would not put a lot of stock in the idea that they'll get a 4-5-4 decision because we have a conservative court. In fact, I would say we'd have a 5-4 decision at least the other way because we have a conservative court.
Rick, how do you really think this is going to play out? And do you think that if he is impeached, and I believe that they have no choice but to impeach him, do you think that the United States Senate could actually shock us with this trial?
I do, but I think it's a long shot. I mean, in some ways, I would rather see the American people vote him out of office overwhelmingly. And the reason I say that, Mike, is because, for one, it's much more satisfying. Two, if he does get impeached, and let's say the Senate does convict him, all that would mean is that he is removed from office. That would mean Mike Pence would become President of the United States, unless Mike Pence is also impeached, but I don't hear anybody talking. I hear people talking about it. There's no serious move for Mike Pence being impeached. And so my guess is Mike Pence would pardon him, meaning going forward, he would avoid prosecution.
Rick, let me stop you right there, because you may know more about this than I do. Even if Pence pardons him, okay, on federal charges, would that still apply to state charges?
No. It wouldn't. But again, that's another risk. But I think the president is far more vulnerable being the unpardoned, unelected. In other words, the voters voted him out, because then he would become a citizen again, and he would be subject to prosecution for all crimes passed, he would have no exoneration from it unless he got a presidential pardon. And I don't think a Democrat in these circumstances is ever going to pardon Trump. That, you know, that's just not going to, I just don't think that's in the cards. But your question was, could the Senate convict him? And very easily, if the Democrats have a communication strategy to convince the majorities in the requisite states, that is states of Republican senators, that if you don't impeach him, we will unelect you. If senators get that as the message, that I have to impeach him or they'll unelect me, then they will impeach him in a heartbeat. We often think of members of Congress, you know, we call them leaders. They're not leaders, they're followers. They'll do exactly what their constituents tell them. And in order for constituents to say, you must impeach this president, you have to have a convincing message. And this is why I say Democrats, they never quite focus to me laser-like on a message. This whole call with President Zelensky of Ukraine is an arms-for-dirt deal. That's all it is. It's arms-for-dirt. People can understand that. It's very simple. It's illegal, right? But Democrats would win the lottery. They would go to the grocery store that sold them the winning lottery ticket. They would find out there aren't enough fire extinguishers in the grocery store, and then they would want an investigation on fire extinguishers and want to have a national campaign on the public safety of effects of not having fire extinguishers. You follow me? It's like,
yes, I do. I do. Messaging is extremely important. All right. Let me. There's some other questions, the non-Trump questions, except everything kind of flows through that through him. Okay. Aren't you concerned that if he loses a close election, that he will not accept the result of the American people?
I love this question. I'm so glad you asked it. Of course he won't accept it, but who cares?
Right.
Like, so let's walk it through. He doesn't accept the election. People in all the states verify the results. Remember, we're a federalist system under federal elections. In fact, it goes down to the county level. And then all the states, they verify their electors. Their electors go to the House of Representatives, which is often seldom covered because it's perfunctory. And then they vote in the new president, and he is the president. And guess what? The president can stay in the White House for all I care. He can sleep in the bedroom until he passes quietly in the night. It doesn't matter. Nobody will follow his orders. Nobody will pay attention to him. He can't sign legislation. He can't stop. He will have no power. I'm happy to let him stay.
And a reminder that today's episode of the Mike Lupica podcast with Rick Tyler is being sponsored by Kronos. Kronos knows that many organizations maintaining a modern workforce of hourly, full, and part-time workers, for them, it can be a challenge. This is especially true for human resources professionals working hard to attract and retain all the best talent. That's why Kronos puts HR, payroll, talent, and timekeeping on a single cloud-based platform. It's one specially designed to give HR professionals supporting a blended workforce a whole new level of confidence. With it, they have everything they need to tackle nearly any human resources challenge and are empowered to not just find and hire the right people, but to engage, motivate, and reward them every single step of the way. Learn more about Kronos HR solutions for the modern workforce and the people who support them, because Kronos is at heart a people business, at kronos.com/HR swagger. Kronos, workforce innovation that works.
By the way, don't you love that with all this going on, that he really thinks today's shiny object could be telling people on Twitter to vote for Sean Spicer on Dancing with the Stars? Somebody just responded to him on Twitter saying, I'm sorry, I can't do that. Too busy fleeing Rojava, leaving Kurdish friends to the mercy of Assad, and the military assault started when you told Erdogan you wanted out of endless wars. I mean, you can't make it up. All right, Elizabeth Warren. Can Elizabeth Warren beat him straight up in an election?
Well, so far the polling says so. I mean, she wouldn't be my choice of a candidate, Mike. Let's be clear.
Who would your choice be out of this Democratic field, Rick?
I just don't. I don't know. I'm just like, it's not fair to ask me because I'm not a Democrat, and Democrats get upset with me when I speculate on this. But I have a right to vote, like everybody else does. But I just hear all these crazy ideas, and so let's just put it this way. Let me put my strategist hat on for a second.
Yeah, that's what I want you to do.
Yeah, so let me quickly assess the race. for the Democrats. Here's what you have to do. You have to keep your base together, win some significant part of the middle, and maybe peel off some anti-Trump Republicans like me, and you will win, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that's it. But instead, we're going to talk about taking away 150 million, health insurance policies, and we can debate that all you want. But that's a huge change from where we are now. We can talk about, you know, coming to my house and knocking on my door and say, "Mr. Tyler, do you own any AR-15s?" You know, like, that's not an idea you want to be like. I just don't think these ideas that are out there. Let's tax all the rich. You know, because profits are horrible and they're terrible, even though, you know, if it were for profit, you wouldn't be holding the Apple iPhone in your hand right now as you're listening to this podcast. These are not the ideas that most Americans want to hear. They're the ideas that maybe Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren supporters want to hear, but they're not winning ideas. And that's my big worry. Now, I think we're a big system and we can talk about a lot of ideas, and as the founders made it very difficult to pass big ideas, so we can rest on that. But I just think it's so much simpler than that. Just kill the alligator closest to the boat.
How much has Biden been damaged by this? Even though I look at Hunter Biden and I'm thinking this is the 2020 election version of Hillary's emails.
Yes. I think Biden has grossly underperformed this opportunity. Because
you mean since Trump's been out? You mean since Trump's been after him on his kid?
Yes, yes. This is like putting a beach ball on a tee and saying, "Can you hit that out of the park?"
Yeah, right.
You know, and like, yes, I can hit that out of the park. And Biden like took 2 or 3 weeks to step up to the plate, because what he needed to do immediately was provide leadership and context. Context was, we got rid of Shokin because everybody wanted to get rid of Shokin, and I was carrying out Barack Obama's policies of keeping a corrupt prosecutor in Ukraine who wasn't investigating corruption. That message came out of the Biden campaign like 2 weeks later.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Hunter Biden can easily explain, look, is he a grifter? Yeah, probably. Whose son, you know, is it, right? In the political world, so Washington is suddenly saintly. We're gonna have a president with all their sons are saints. Yeah, he was collecting $50,000 a year from Burisma, which is the biggest gas conglomerate in Ukraine. Do I think he did anything corrupt and illegal? But I don't. I probably not. Should he not have taken $50,000 a month for being Joe Biden's son? Yes, I think that's just ethically wrong, but he did it. But let's keep in mind, Jovanka, which is Steve Bannon's cute name for Jared and Ivanka, yeah, made $82 million last year while working in the White House. That is $6.8 million a month.
Yeah.
From that, I'd have to conclude either that they're corrupt or Biden Hunter's really getting ripped off.
You mean you're talking about Ivanka Trump, that someone that her father thinks is the new Eleanor Roosevelt? That's the Ivanka Trump that you're talking about?
Yeah, right? That one.
Yeah, that one.
I don't share the president's view of his own daughter, but I can certainly appreciate having a distorted view of one's own daughter.
A month and a few weeks from now, we are going to have another. I'll leave you this question today, because, you know, I'm always grateful to my friends who come on this podcast and they're not getting paid to talk. OK, a month and a few weeks from now, we're going to have the most important American election since the last American election. And here's my kind of highfalutin question for my friend Rick Tyler. And it is this: do you believe on that day, in November of 2020, that we are going to be feeling better again about the United States of America and the country we're supposed to be and the country we should aspire to be?
If I had to bet on it now, I'd say yes. And I do believe, like I say, I have this abiding faith that Americans have an incredible ability to course correct. What is a known is that Trump and the Republicans will spend close to $1 billion on this election, which, as you know, can do severe damage to somebody's reputation.
Right.
And unless the Democrats have a communications plan that keeps people focused on the reason they should get rid of this president, they could lose. So We'll see. I'm hopeful. I mean, I don't want to see this. I think this president is causing great damage, and I think a reelected President Trump who survives impeachment becomes even more dangerous.
Y'all better listen to Rick Tyler when he's on MSNBC because, again, look at where he has come from to the things he is saying about the current state of the country. He's on during the week. He's on weekends, and he's one of the guys over there. I'm sure glad we have him speaking truth to power. Thank you for doing this today, my friend.
Thanks, Mike.
Rick Tyler on the Mike Lubega podcast. The fun of doing this is I'm lucky enough to be able to call up people like Rick, and he says, "Yeah, I'll come on and talk about this stuff." Go to Spotify, go to Stitcher, go to Pandora, go to Apple Podcasts, wherever you get it. Leave us a rating, leave us a comment, and I will talk to you next week, everybody.
The Mike Lupica podcast is produced and distributed by Compass Media Networks in conjunction with Hiltzik Creative. For iPhone users, go to the podcast app and search the Mike Lupica podcast. Click on the Mike Lupica podcast icon and subscribe. For non-iPhone users, you can listen on Google Play Music, TuneIn, Stitcher, or your preferred podcast platform.